Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, my guest tonight is a dear brother in Christ. Tom Phillips is vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and he has a wonderful book that I want to introduce you to called Ignite Your Passion for Jesus. Tom, welcome to the broadcast.
Jim, what an honor to be with you again. Thank you, and thank you for your work with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association through my hope those many years.
We are very grateful. It was a real privilege to be a part of that. Now, in your book, I want to introduce it by saying something you talk about in here. When I pastored in Atlanta, I had some deacons who asked me, "When are we going to have a revival?" And I said, "Do you mean when are we going to have a series of special meetings where we invite a guest preacher?" And they said, well, yes. And I said, "Well, we can schedule that any time." Revival, on the other hand, is something that God does, and for that, people have to prepare themselves spiritually. So you're not talking about, when you talk about revival, and you talk about it extensively in this book, you're not talking about a series of special meetings. You're talking about a relationship with the Lord himself.
Right. Revival, as you know, is nothing but normal Christianity. And so when we talk about being renewed or restored or regenerated, or as young people say, reset, that means you've had the life before, and now it has to be brought back to the forefront, mm-hmm. which is really intimacy with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. But as the church strays away from the Lord, mm-hmm. it loses spiritual power.
Amen.
And it loses influence. And the world then becomes hostile because the church is not reflecting God. It's reflecting materialism or commercialism or success. So God, the Holy Spirit, is the only one who can bring the timing, the kairos moment together for a true revival of his kids first.
Amen.
Revival is of the church, and
yes.
you just said it. And then, of course, the unsaved, the uncommitted, those that Jesus died for who have not yet met him, they see joy, they see a different church, and they want, quote, some of that. So
many,
the Lord is calling us to pray for that.
Amen. Many of them want something along that line. Obviously, Jesus perfectly incarnated the love of the Father, and the response to him was hostile. And he says we should expect that too. But you're exactly right, and your book shares this beautifully, that when we are walking in an authentic relationship with the Lord, as we should be, as you said, and Watchman Nee wrote a book on it, Normal Christianity, the Normal Christian Life, when we are walking in authentic relationship with the Lord, there are those who are God's children who will be drawn to him through the love they see in us and the joy they see in us.
Jim, you're absolutely correct. And really, as we look at what God is up to today in our country, we wrote this book. It's 12 different lessons, 5 sections each, quote, really 15 minutes a day, 2 months worth, mm-hmm. mainly for young people. It's a guide to experience personal revival. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm not inadequate. It doesn't mean that I've concluded my pilgrimage. It means that this is what God is telling us. Isaiah says it well, "Arise, children, for your light can shine for all to see. The glory of the Lord rises to shine on you." So it's not really our light that goes out. It's his light through us, and that dying to self lets the darkness dissipate, and then the light of Jesus comes through. The Bible says darkness as black as night will cover all the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you.
Amen.
And that's what's happening today, and the media doesn't even see it. The revival of God is underway in the grassroots right now, especially among young people.
And wonderful, wonderful things happening, even in the midst of persecution around the world. I read that the fastest growing segment of the church right now is in Iran.
That's correct.
Who would have guessed?
No one would have guessed it. I mean, when we backed away from helping them in their revolution, I think they went to their knees. When they saw Muslims killing Muslims, they told me themselves, ones who had been Muslims that had come to Jesus, that it so shocked us that we could kill ourselves that we knew there was a God of love somewhere and we had to find him. And then, of course, Jesus started showing up to millions of them in dreams, and mainly young people, but not always.
Yes. And that, again, we need to realize this is not, I think on the one hand, it's important for folks to realize our responsibility for what we do. And the 12-week guide here that you have designed in order to help people deepen their relationship with Jesus, absolutely wonderful. But in the midst of it, one of the things your book deals with effectively is that this is something God's up to. It's not something we do so that God doesn't have to. It's something we do as God works in us and through us, and we draw closer to him. And I love your sharing the story about back when you were in seminary and prayed that, you know, for 2 weeks God would bring people into your path daily for you to share the gospel with. And the Lord did it in such a, on the one hand, I want to say a natural way, but in another sense, supernatural way. But it was so obviously God that you were able to share very comfortably with these folks. It was just God set it up perfectly. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, you said, Lord, you know, where have these people been all this time? And the Lord said, they've always been there. Where have you been?
That's right.
That's right.
And that was a breaking moment in my own heart because I saw I didn't have spiritual eyes to see. I had to be intentional. And the church today, going to its knees and praying and say, God, show me your will for my life one heart at a time, is how God begins to move us back toward him.
And that's what it's about, is drawing close to him. I love your title, Ignite Your Passion for Jesus. It's not your passion for a bunch of rules. It's not your passion for religion. It's a relationship with Jesus that absolutely transforms us, isn't it?
Totally. You know, Bill Bright, Billy Graham, all these old saints would say it's not about religion, it's about relationship. You may have been interviewed, and as I have, by the secular press, and they say, why are you so religious?
Yeah.
And, you know, our response is we're not. We're not. Religion is man's chance, opportunities to organize himself for to meet God. And God just says, hey, I'll come to you.
Amen.
And that's what's happening with young people today around the world. For example, I was in LAX Hyatt about 5 months ago at the Mission America meeting. Mm-hmm. And as you know, that's about 400 denominations, parachurch, mission agencies.
Right.
And there were about 50 young people meeting, and they said, come and observe. So I went one afternoon, and it was amazing, Jim. 13 or 14 different major groups, some said as many as 20, but each one of them shared 3 minutes about what they were doing in this country and around the world. These are 18 to 35-year-olds, and they were Hispanic, white, black, Asian. They weren't looking at gender. They weren't looking at age. They were paying no attention to race, and they were just in love with Jesus, and they were giving vision and work that they're doing. These are selected millennials and really a lot of Gen Zs, and they were doing stuff that was so creative and so big, like groups training in evangelism, personal witnessing throughout America, groups training others how to pray, groups training others how to disciple, groups literally young men and women going around the world doing their own little crusades, or going into Brazil, for example, with no money, renting a stadium of 40,000, dividing up all the cost of the crusade, selling tickets for people to come hear their sinners and come to Jesus. They had already filled one stadium. They had already filled another stadium. simultaneously, and they were selling out the third stadium. And I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes thinking, my goodness, this power is really of the church, but outside the institutional church.
Yes. God is up to something.
And it's while, really big.
Yeah.
It's really big.
Amen. And while a lot of people are trying desperately to figure out how they're going to keep the old machinery alive, God is offering rocket rides to those who just want to do his will.
That's true. Ephesians says it well, 1:10, that in the dispensation or the end time, the fullness of time, God will gather together all of his kids in Christ. And in John, it says the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And the world doesn't see it, but these kids are just obediently responding to Jesus' leading. And it's like little light bulbs coming online all across our nation. And darkness is always dispelled by light.
Amen.
But here's the church on the other side. It's as if the message of Christianity is silenced in some ways in the institutional church, mm-hmm. and the energy is directed toward, I wouldn't say useless things, but secondary things.
Amen. Amen. Tom, in this book, you talk about a bunch of really important subjects, and you lay out, you put it in the context of Scripture and key thoughts and so forth. You make it digestible, accessible. It's wonderful. But in the midst of it, one of the things you talk about, and I'd like for you to share a little bit with our listeners, is joy in true repentance. I've said for a long time, people think of repentance in very negative terms. It's this nasty word we don't want to use. It's old-fashioned. It's just not something people want to hear about. But actually, the call to repent is a message of hope that says we don't have to be stuck doing the same stupid, destructive patterns over and over. It's possible to change, isn't it? So talk with us about joy in repentance, if you would.
I shall. This really began with me when I was 8 years old, if I can tell a personal story.
Mm-hmm.
I met Jesus, and he not only became Lord and Savior, but my best friend. He was also my heavenly father, and my earthly father was a good man, World War II veteran, tough as nails, mm-hmm. very much a disciplinarian, but a real lover, like an Italian father, hugging you but making you work. And I mm-hmm. never, ever, ever wanted to disappoint my earthly father. And I asked him one day, I was ADD, I got a lot of spanking. But I never knowingly, I said, Daddy, do you ever remember me knowingly disobeying you? And he said, no, I don't. But let me tell you, when I met this Heavenly Father, I never, ever, ever wanted to hurt him.
Mm.
When I saw what Jesus did for me on the cross, what he had sacrificed, when I saw that the power of God, all of God's power, had gone through Jesus in resurrection mm-hmm. to overcome sin and death for me and all mankind, literally, my heart was broken, and I was in medicine at the time, and God spoke to me and said, what's more important, helping a man or woman have quality of life for 7 years, or helping a man or woman have life eternal? And it just turned me around, and I said, God, I want you to convict me always. I want you to pray for conviction.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see as God sees me, and when I see it, it's like going down a highway and I get off on a clover leaf. I can repent and get right back on mm-hmm. and not miss a beat with him. So repentance for me just became a way of obedience, and that bred joy.
Amen.
And it's not happiness. Happiness is all about things. Joy is about that relationship with the eternal God that's present and abundant. And so for me, repentance is great. I want to repent because I want to please my Father. And I want to live for Jesus.
Amen. You talk about the fact that prayer is not an obligation, it is a privilege. Because it really, again, if you're in relationship with the Lord and you love him, why in the world would you not want to spend time in conversation with him?
Right. Another personal story, you learn lessons, you know. Here you are, you've surrendered your life to ministry, you're in seminary, nobody's helping you financially, your wife's working, you're working, you're wondering if you'll ever get through it. You end up spending 7 years in that thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And this kid in my little country church had come to Christ. He was the drug addict, and every afternoon he's out witnessing. And he belonged to no church. He would just go door to door and saying, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? He was winning people in southern Indiana right and left.
Praise God.
And he started going to churches and standing up in the middle of sermons, challenging pastors about their own witness for others. Have you won anybody to Christ this week? So he ends up in my church. And I'm thinking, I'm 21, he's like 17. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what's he going to do to me now? And so he kept coming, and one Sunday night, he stayed afterwards, and he said, Tom, I said, yeah. He said, do you know how I go out every day? And I said, no. He said, I am so totally inadequate that I have to go on my knees every day for an hour when I get home off the bus from school before I go out and tell people God loves them. He said, do you pray an hour a day? And I said, well, I pray. He said, I didn't ask you that. Do you pray an hour a day? And I said, no. Now, granted, I'm a minister. Mm-hmm. At least I'm a fledgling minister. Mm-hmm. Probably not a very good one, but I'm a fledgling minister. And I'm in seminary, and I'm committed. And this kid is challenging me because of his spiritual success, the power mm-hmm. that came from his prayer time.
Yes.
And I said, but I will. He said, will you? I said, I will. So, man, I'm working like a full-time job. I'm going to school full-time. I'm going to bed at midnight. I'm getting up in time to, you know, 7 o'clock for classes. Mm-hmm. And I started praying an hour a night. And I would pray through my prayer list. I'd pray through the Word of God. And often in a little basement in this old farmhouse, I'd fall asleep on my knees with my head in the concrete, end up with dimples from the old rough concrete. And I had no idea, Jim, that God would save my marriage through this prayer. I was so domineering. I was so dominant. I was so right all the time that I actually thought my wife was wrong. Mm. And after 6 months of this, it was as if I were being transported into the very presence of Jesus every night.
Praise God.
Now, don't mind you, my body's worn out.
Yeah.
But my spirit was soaring. And when I went to prayer, it was as if I didn't exist. Mm. And then one night, God spoke to me just as clearly as a human being, and he said, Tom, you just want to be the king in your marriage. And I said, pardon me? He said, you just want to be the king. And I said, God, what are you saying? He said, well, my word says you're the prophet, priest, and king if you're the husband. And you just want to be the king. Mm. You don't want to take, as the priest, your family before my altar every day. Well, I did. Now I lay me down to sleep with my child and wife. And then he said, you don't want to carry the prophet banner and stand with your armor in front of your family. You just want to be the king. Mm. Now, my wife and I had had a terrible argument. And if we were dating, we'd never leave each other mad. We'd always make sure we settled it. But here we are married. And I'm down there studying because I can lose my brain in studying, and she's above me vacuuming the floor because she's mad. And I said, God, are you saying to me that I'm partially at fault? Seriously. And he said, yes. And I said, can you give me a percentage? And he said, try 100. And I was so broken. I said, but God, she has her problems too. He said, Tom, she does. But I hold you responsible for this family. Mm. I will take care of her needs as well. But right now, you've got to lead this family. You've got to serve this family. You're the submissive one to be the servant of this. And I was broken. I was just mm-hmm. weeping. Mm-hmm. And I went upstairs that night and put my hand on the bed, and she was asleep. It was around 12:30. And I just apologized while she was sleeping. And the next day, I personally apologized. And he saved me from my own domination. Mm. And so my death to self came through that burden from a six-month, one-hour-a-day prayer time that became mystical.
Praise
where
God.
God could finally say what no man, no woman, not my mom, not my dad, no one could say this to me, but mm-hmm. God did.
Praise God.
And that's how God needs to touch this nation.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, the book, folks, is Ignite Your Passion for Jesus. And we're talking with Tom Phillips, who's vice president of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and a dear brother in the Lord. Tom, you've laid this material out as a 12-week guide. Each day includes a key verse, an inspirational reading, questions for reflection and application, truths about how to live in revival, and experientials about Spirit-empowered faith. Your suggestion is that revival doesn't have to be a cyclical thing. It's supposed to be a lifestyle, isn't it?
That's right. It does come in cycles because we turn our back on God. But if we follow obediently the discipline, we can have revival. This nation can be changed. Washington, D.C. is not the power broker. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God is the power broker. I remember Martin Lloyd Jones once said the essence of revival is when the Holy Spirit comes down on churches or districts or a whole country. If you will, it's a visitation of God.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes one heart at a time. Someone else said we can see revival when a few people get totally right with God. Mm-hmm. A spiritual revival occurs when people, God's people, begin to pray as they did before Pentecost. They mm-hmm. prayed like 10 days, let's say. They then preach 10 minutes, and then the unsaved come to Christ. Matthew Henry once said, when God intends great mercy for his people, he, God, first of all, sets them a praying.
Amen.
An 18th Pearson said, there has never been a movement of God in the history of the world that did not begin in concerted, united, consistent, persevering prayer. So on our knees, Brother Jim, we have to go and say, God, wretched man that I am, Christian or not, wretched man that I am, I have to give my life to you. Come in and show me my failures. I want your conviction. I want to confess. I want to repent. Break my heart through obedience. And Jim, I'm telling you, for this nation, I'm no prophet nor the son of a prophet, but if we don't obediently follow Christ through his word, he will allow a crisis that puts us on our knees from which we cannot get up.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. Well, brother, thank you so much for this book. Thank you for your life of ministry, your service to the body of Christ all over the world. And please give our love to our friends there at BGEA.
Let me just finish with this quote from Billy Graham. And though he was the evangelist, he said, I'm praying for an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival that will sweep America from coast to coast. And that's God's movement. We can't organize it. Billy Graham understood it. We understand it. For that we pray. Thank you, Jim.
Amen. Thank you, brother. God bless you.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at PastorWood.org. That's PastorWood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, PastorWood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us, that we will remain faithful, and that God will continue to use us to spread His word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.